The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5, reading from verses 43 to 48, and that can be found on page 970 in the Church Bible. Love for enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the words of Jesus Christ, these words which lead us into eternal life. As we reflect together on your word to us this morning, Lord, may your name be truly hallowed on earth as it is hallowed in heaven. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. As I mentioned last week, we are now entering into a new sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. And over the next few weeks together, we're going to look at each line of these particular words of Jesus. For many of us, these words of the Lord's Prayer are quite well known. For many of us, these words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel have been on our lips and in our hearts from a very young age. We might be tempted sometimes to think there is nothing new to learn from words that are so well known to us. And I confess, as a minister and as a preacher of the gospel, one of the greatest challenges that I face in my own life is that challenge of hearing Scripture speak anew, no matter how many times I have heard it or read it before. And for me, in my own life, the only way to really hear again what Scripture has to say is to take the time to pause and to reflect on what it is saying to us. And that's what we're trying to do with the Lord's Prayer over the next few weeks together. As I also mentioned last week, I think the Lord's Prayer is one of the greatest gifts that Jesus has ever given to his church. In Greek, the original language of the New Testament, the Lord's Prayer is 57 words long. Last week, it suggested that these 57 words of Jesus change the world. And they can change our lives too. And last week, we heard that while Jesus taught his disciples many things throughout his ministry, he was always calling his disciples to be around him, to learn from him, to hear his words. His disciples only ever asked him to teach them one thing. They asked him to teach them to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And I think this is because prayer was at the foundation of everything that Jesus was about. Throughout all four Gospels, we read about Jesus taking the time to pray on 21 separate occasions. For Jesus, prayer was the means by which he was in relationship with his heavenly Father. Prayer was the means by which he was able to carry out the full extent of his ministry. And by teaching his disciples the words of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus wanted his first disciples to have the same kind of relationship with the Father that he had with the Father. And Jesus desires the same for us who hear his word in Scripture now. Our Lord gave us the great gift of this particular prayer so that we could use it to be in relationship with the Father as well. And when I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer over this last weekend, it kept coming back to me that the Lord's Prayer is both vertical and horizontal. It's vertical and it's horizontal. What do I mean by that? It is vertical in that it teaches us that at its root, prayer is all about our relationship with God. And the very first words of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father," make it crystal clear that the Lord's Prayer is all about relationship. The Lord's Prayer is also vertical because it prays for what is done in heaven to also be done upon the earth. And by the way, the structure of the original language in the New Testament suggests to us that the line "on earth as it is in heaven" applies to the entire opening of the prayer. So we can and should pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so the Lord's Prayer is vertical because it first addresses our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," all of these deal with our vertical relationship with the Father. And the latter part of the Lord's Prayer deals with what I would call the horizontal relational aspects of the Lord's Prayer. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive others their debts. Protect us from the evil one. And so we see that the Lord's Prayer is both vertical and horizontal. It's concerned with our relationship with God, but it's also just as concerned with every other relationship, every other concern that we have. It's vertical and horizontal, and therefore it touches on every aspect of our lives here on earth. Every need we have, every concern we have, every hope we have as humans is summed up in the words of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer gives us the ultimate template for how we ought to pray. The Lord's Prayer is concerned with our past, forgive us our debts, with our present, our daily bread, with our future, protect us from the evil one. It's, as we said, it's vertical and horizontal. The Lord's Prayer touches every corner of our lives, addresses every need we have. In every sense, the Lord's Prayer is all about God breaking into our reality in every way imaginable. The Lord's Prayer invites each of us into a state of radical reorientation in which God's priorities become our priorities. God's ways become our ways. The Lord's Prayer is all about the inbreaking kingdom of Jesus Christ into our world, into our lives. But the Lord's Prayer doesn't start with God's kingdom, does it? No, the first petition is not about the kingdom. Rather, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer is all about God himself. Jesus prayed, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven." Remember, that last line goes with the whole first part of the prayer. Hallowed be your name. That's what Jesus prayed. When we hear or read these words, they might seem like more than a wee bit abstract to us. But there is good reason for starting the prayer by asking for God's name to be hallowed. In the words of Daryl Johnson, at the center of Jesus' own being, at the center of Jesus' identity and mission is his passion for his Father's name being hallowed. In other words, Our Lord's chief concern was and is to make his Father's name holy, to make his Father's name precious, and to invite others to follow his perfect example. And how do we know that the holiness, the preciousness, the sanctity of the Father's name was Jesus' chief concern? We know it from the other great Lord's Prayer recorded for us in John 17. In 17, verse 1, Jesus prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." John 17, 6, "I have revealed your name to those you gave me out of the world. I have made your name fully known." When he taught his first disciples to pray, Jesus started with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven." Because that's where Jesus started with his own prayer life. Again, in the words of Daryl Johnson, "From first to last, at every point in between, Jesus lives and dies to see the Father's name hallowed on earth as it is hallowed in heaven." But what is Jesus driving at when he tells us and teaches us to pray for God's name to be hallowed, for God's name to be made holy? Much of it comes down to the fact that in the Bible, names have great meaning. Names even have great power. In the Bible, names are not mere labels chosen on a whim, chosen because we like the sound or the flow. Names were much, much more than that. Names described and shaped a person's reality. For instance, the name Abraham. We know Abraham from the Old Testament, don't we? His name means father of many nations. And in light of God's great promise to bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham, that was a fitting name for him. His name reflected his reality. Moses sounds like the Hebrew word that we would translate as to draw out. Maybe we know the beginning of the story of the Exodus, that after Moses was born and because Pharaoh had ordered the death of all newborn Hebrew boys, Moses was placed in what? What was he placed in? A basket, and hidden in reeds by a riverbank. When he was discovered, Moses was drawn out of the water. And later in his life, God would use Moses to draw out the Hebrew people from Egypt, so they could begin their journey to the promised land. Saul, the name of Israel's first king, means asked for or prayed for. The people of Israel wanted to be just like the rest of the nations around them, so they asked God for a king, and they got exactly what they asked for in Saul. The name Israel means literally wrestles with God. That name certainly captures the relationship between God and his people throughout the Old Testament. The name Peter comes from the word Petros, which means rock. Peter started out as shifting sand, but by the time that God was done with him, Peter was a true leader of the church, solid as a rock. And as we heard before from the children's message, Jesus means the Lord saves. And Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Yeshua, or Joshua. No pressure. And that name, of course, does mean God saves. So in the biblical world, someone's name was not just an arbitrarily chosen label. Instead, a name was meant to communicate an individual's character, an individual's personality, an individual's life and reputation even. That's why the book of Proverbs tells us that a good name is to be chosen over great riches. In the biblical world, a good name was a precious commodity, far more precious than gold. And so names in the Bible are not just random labels affixed onto our lives. In the Bible, someone's name tells us something about the reputation, about the character of the person. And that is especially true when it comes to God. When Jesus prayed, "Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven," he didn't mean that at that point God's name was somehow less than holy and needed to be made holy. No, He was praying that God's name, God's character, God's reputation would be revered on earth as it is already revered in heaven. In the first line of this grand prayer, Jesus is inviting all of his disciples in every time, in every place, to join in his mission of building up, of protecting God's reputation here on earth, as it is already built up and protected and proclaimed in heaven. And every other part of the Lord's Prayer that we will hear flows from this great passion to see God's name and God's reputation treated as well on earth as it is treated in heaven. And so at the very start, the Lord's Prayer invites us into Jesus' own work of making God's name and his reputation as sacred on earth as it is in heaven. But the question remains, how do we make God's name holy? How do we continue Jesus' own work of making his Father's name, his Father's reputation, precious here in the world? I'd like to finish up this morning by making one suggestion about how we might go about this. And this suggestion is based on another passage from the Sermon on the Mount, which Irene read aloud for us earlier in this morning's worship. Matthew 5, verse 44, and Jesus said, "I say to you now, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven." We hear the causal link in that verse. Do we hear the connection? Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. In his own life and ministry, Jesus hallowed his Father's name by showing God's love to those who were enemies of the gospel. The sonship of Jesus was most clearly seen in his willingness to love and redeem fallen and sinful humanity. As the Son of God, Jesus shared God's love with everyone who crossed his path. That is how he hallowed his Father's name. And this first line of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven," invites each of us into the same practice of hallowing God's name by showing his love, especially to those people in our lives who for one reason or another are counted as adversaries, as irritations, or even as enemies. Every person we encounter in our lives is an object of God's love. And we hallow God's name by treating them as such. We might think all of this sounds very grand, maybe too high for us, that maybe we aren't good enough or loving enough to enter into Jesus' good work of hallowing God's name by loving our enemies. We might be worried that try as we might just make matters worse. We might be worried that we will actually do harm to God's name, God's reputation, by our actions. But here's the good news. Scripture tells us that God delights in using imperfect people, sorry to say it's everyone here, to carry out his perfect will. God delights in using imperfect people to carry out his perfect will. In the words of St. Paul, God's great power, God's great love is perfected in our weakness. We are never so strong. We are never so strong that we don't need God's help. We are never so weak that God cannot use us. I'll say that again. We are never so strong we don't need God's help, but we are never so weak that God cannot use us. God's power is perfected in our weakness. Jesus is the one who fully hallows God's name. And by God's grace, by the Spirit's power, each of us here is invited through the Lord's Prayer, through our lives, to have a share in Jesus' great work of winning the world back to God, of making God's name holy here on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.